Welcome. You are tuning in today to Fit as a Fiddle Plus. Now, the reason I put the word plus on there is because we're all about health and wellness. And oftentimes, health and wellness goes a lot further than just your physical health. It's your mental health. It's your spiritual health. It's your emotional health. So we're talking all things health and wellness. And we're going to get to Suzaida is our guest this evening. And we're going to get to her in just a moment. But in the meantime, I do want to mention for those of you that are joining in, and can I'll put it in the chat for now, but I'll also put it in our platform, which I put in the chat. So I'll explain how that works. When you look at the chat, it says to connect with me or to find future dates of the meetup, and all of our replays are at that link. It's Kathy Benner International Academy. And so if you just Google Kathy Benner International Academy, it'll come up, and the Fit as a Fiddle Plus is the very first icons that you see there on that particular website. And the very first one is our free meetup that Rita Brewer and I co-host together. And if you click there, that's where you'll find all of those future dates of the meetup and all of the replays. So make a note of that, Kathy Benner International Academy. Also, once the call is completed, I also take the audio version and put that into our podcast, which is the Fit as a Fiddle Plus. And you'll see myself and Rita there as well. So welcome. And about me, I am a passive income coach, but I firmly believe that health comes before wealth. If you don't have your health, what have you? And the reason that I like to think of it like that, I ran across, it was a quote by the Dalai Lama, and I don't know that I can pull the exact quote out of my mind, but basically what he said was, man seems to confuse him because man will give up his health to earn money, and then he'll spend all of his money to try to buy back his health. So, and that impacted me so much. And I thought, you know, that is so true. I remember the days that I was working two jobs and racing up and down the highway. I was a single mom. I was trying to make ends meet. I had very little income. I had a car that wouldn't run. I was constantly in the shop and bumming rides. And I hated that period of my life because of that self-imposed stress that I put on myself, thinking that I had to live in a certain place and drive a certain car and have a certain job. But I am a hard worker, and I did grind through that period in my life. And I had some aha moments as my life unfolded. And my aha moments were how I could create passive income. And once I realized how I could create passive income, my life changed for the better, because then I could carve out the time that I needed to work on my health. And so my latest endeavor, I'll just toss it out there. Mark and I are training now for sometime in the spring. We are going to start section hiking the Appalachian Trail. So I can't wait. Rita's been following me a little bit on my Facebook page, where I'm doing like 7 mile walks and 8 mile walks. And I haven't made it up to a 10 mile walk yet, but they tell me that once I can do 3 10-mile walks in a row, I'm ready to register for the trail. So I'll keep you posted. So in the meantime, make a note of Kathy Benner International Academy. Please join in. And there's all kinds of programs in there, but the one we want you to join in with is this one, which is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. So I want to introduce my lovely assistant, Rita. She looks so beautiful today. Me and my ponytail. I was just saying that earlier. I've had a really crazy, busy weekend with a big conference. And so anyhow, I was doing airport runs all day, so I'm in my ponytail. So Rita, tell us about you. And then Rita is going to introduce Suzaida for us.
Hello, everybody. Well, you didn't see me about 30 minutes ago. I just came from surgery all day today and had it. So I had to fix it up real quick just for you, Kathy.
Well, thank you. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and co-hosting. This is our first podcast hosting together. So I'm super excited about it. And I'm super excited to learn more about passive income from you. So I have been a physician assistant practicing conventional medicine for over 30 years in multiple specialties, from surgery to internal medicine, integrative medicine, trauma, multiple surgical specialties. I ran a weight loss clinic for about 6 years, but I've always had a holistic approach to health and wellness because my own body started failing me in my 20s when I was supposedly healthy, but living with chronic pain every day, starting from age 29. And I was diagnosed with a mild form of rheumatoid arthritis, which became full blown in my 50s. And leading to a total hip replacement. But I recovered very well. But I've always wanted to teach people about preventative health and integrate the best of both worlds. We do certain great things in conventional medicine, but we're really bad at preventative health and wellness. So when I have been in this medical model for all these years, and every year it just seems like people are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. The rates of obesity and chronic disease, specifically obesity and diabetes, have increased by 2,000% in the last 40 years. So we're really not helping people with preventative health. We have a crisis management system. It's not a healthcare system. It's a sick care system where we're just managing diseases, and we're not helping anybody prevent disease and get better from these chronic illnesses like obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, many forms of cancer. And so many of them are preventable and reversible with healthy lifestyle interventions. So because I didn't want to be in that system of care anymore, I decided it was time to toss my stethoscope and my prescription pads aside and start my own virtual health coaching practice, where I feel like I can help people in a much more significant way and transform their health and be strong and fit as a fiddle and living the life that they deserve, incorporating all kinds of great lifestyle and changes. So that's what I'm doing now. And so happy to be here to talk about health and wellness with all of you.
Perfect. Thank you, Rita. Now, don't forget, Rita, put into the chat box how folks can connect with you as well. But you can wait if you want and go ahead and introduce Suzaida for us. And I'll start with finding a little bit out about Suzaida.
Sure. So I just dropped my website is the best way to contact me, ritabrewer.com. And yes, I'm excited for our guest, Ms. Suzaida. I love this bio. Okay, here we go. So this is her bio. What if you were given a chance to leave your entire life behind and go on a 2-year self-discovery journey? Pick me. Well, that's exactly what our guest today did. After being fired for the third time in her 18-year career working in pharmaceutical research, Suzaida took it as a sign from the universe. She recognized she had a pattern. The pattern was that every time she stood up for herself, she got fired. What was life telling her, and what was behind this pattern? She decided it was finally time to do some soul searching. She pursued a full-time self-discovery journey. She realized she had lived life totally asleep. She procrastinated her life away. She suffered a life of self-doubt, self-sabotage, shame, and guilt. She was dying on the inside and living extremely unfulfilled and disconnected. For 2 years, she sought answers about her identity while healing herself. During this journey, she uncovered hidden truths about spirituality, ancient wisdom, and our humanity. She also came into her spiritual gifts and life's mission. Now, Suzaida is a spiritual and mindset coach. Her life mission is to awaken 1 billion people to their divine mind and infinite intelligence. Welcome, Suzaida. Thank you so much for being here.
I love that. Oh my goodness. That is amazing. I'm going to ask Suzaida some questions, but I want Nancy and Ruth and Rita, all of you, feel free to simply have a conversation with Suzaida if a question comes up. We won't derail her, but we are going to just go ahead and ask questions. And I'd love it to be very conversational and just learn more about her journey and what she discovered. So tell us more about getting fired 3 times. Oh my gosh, that has to make you start to question a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, if you figure that I worked at four different companies, fired from three of them. Yeah, you kind of start to question, okay, what's going on? You know, the first time it happened, it was fine. It was like the company cutting the umbilical cord because I had been working for this company for 14 years. And so I was like, thank God they fired me because it was a blessing in disguise. I got to go back to school, finish my undergrad and, you know, collect unemployment along the way. So it was great. And then the second time I got fired, it was pretty controversial due to a lot of politics within the company, a lot of politics.
Oh, don't you hate corporate politics?
Absolutely.
And that one was a huge blessing in disguise because I literally was just, I was killing myself working for this company. And it was a time in my life where I had formed some not so healthy addictions to drugs, such as Adderall. You might be familiar with Adderall, which is a stimulant, right, that helps people to focus. So I became really addicted to that to help myself, show up for the job. And also, yeah, that was a time in my life, too, where I realized how much my identity was attached to this job and my self-worth was based on the approval of everybody that I was working with. And so
getting fired from the previous job, did that play a part in you trying to be this overachiever in this second job? It would, if it were me, I would think, oh my gosh, I don't want to get fired again. And I would be like trying to like overcompensate maybe.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Yes, because in the pharmaceutical industry where I work, like I went from one sector of the industry into another, which was a natural kind of upward progression. So yeah, in a sense, there was some ego there where it was like, okay, it's my time to really prove myself. Plus the mindset of that part of the industry is a totally different, because you go from like being a service provider, right, to where you're serving clients to working as the client. So you're the boss. So it's a totally different like culture, totally different mentality. So I had some of that playing with. But so, you know, when I got fired that second time, I did a little bit of soul searching. It was actually when I finally started meditating. Because I ended up finally deciding, since I got fired, I was able to stop taking the Adderall. And then I was able to stop taking the sleep medications that got prescribed with it. Cause I was like, oh my God, I don't have to show up and do anything. I can let my body, I can just not be responsible. So it was a blessing in that way. And it took me 6 months to begin for my body to even begin to feel normal. Cause when I wasn't taking Adderall, I had no energy. I had no energy and my appetite was totally messed up. Like I would binge eat. The days I was taking Adderall, I didn't want to eat because I didn't have an appetite.
Yeah.
And the days I wasn't taking Adderall, I would suffer because I had no energy, no motivation. And then I would binge eat. So it was a pretty toxic cycle for several years as a function, you know, of my career. And so, yeah, so then there, that's being fired. I was like, okay, I can actually just rest for a second and let everything go. And it was such a blessing because there's so much political BS at this company that I was like, thank you, you know, for now I don't have to be responsible anymore and I can actually take care of myself. So that's when, yeah, I weaned myself off the drugs and it was really hard. It was a 3 month withdrawal period. And then 6 months was when I finally started to feel like my body, I could function, you know, reasonably without the drugs, like get decent sleep. And that's when I started to meditate. You know, that's when I started to find other solutions to my so-called inability to focus and quiet the mind. So there was that.
Did you have help when you went through that getting off of those, or did you just kind of do it by grit? Just, you just said, I'm getting off and I'm going to do it.
I just did it by grit. You know, I just did it by, because I realized like what it was doing to my body. I didn't realize it from an awakened state. I just knew, like, in my heart was telling me, Zaida, like your body doesn't want to be on these drugs anymore, you know? So I just kind of was listening to that. So then fast forward, after being on a moratorium from work and letting myself heal, I decided, okay, I'm ready to go back to work. So then I go, you know, get my fourth, I go start working for a company, the fourth company in my career. And it was a smaller organization, 25 employees, and just more politics, more like toxicity. And then, so I found the courage to like confront the CEO. And then after that conversation, I remember it distinctly. I realized, oh my God, what did I do? And then I sensed I was about to get fired. And I was like, okay, Zaida, if you get fired, this is a third time, you're gonna move to Bali and you're just gonna take your life, leave the United States and see what happens. And you're gonna take it as a sign. So then I got fired. I was like, and I remember my heart dropped. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm getting fired for the third time in my life. And I was like, okay, well, you said to the universe, you're going to move to Bali if you get fired. So
wow.
I did. I literally cashed out everything I had. And I left my life. I was living in San Diego. I left my life in San Diego, just gave everything up. And then I didn't know that I would be on a 2-year, you know, awakening, transformation, healing, self-discovery journey. I didn't know that that's literally what I had signed up for, but that's what the universe fed me.
what a beautiful place though, Bali, right? What a beautiful place to do that.
Yeah.
And that's definitely the whole 2 years.
That's definitely one of my questions. Why do you choose? I definitely want to ask you why you chose Bali. Yeah. But I'm also curious if you want to share, what was the reason that you got fired? I mean, because 3 different times, were they all like the same kind of thing, same issues or what?
It was each time I got fired, it was because I was standing up for something that I had believed in. Like I was standing up for some inappropriateness at work, you know, and I hold responsibility. Like I recognize in hindsight, I could have had a different conversation about it. Maybe that would not have led me to get fired. But the last 2 times, I kind of, you might have considered me a whistleblower in a sense, you know, and at that point I was like, I'm not even going to fight it anymore. And just, you know, I just let it be because it was affirming to hear from other people that, you know, Zaida, you're not alone in what you're experiencing. So I knew like it wasn't just me, but yeah, it was a lot of just corporate stuff, a lot of mistreatment of employees, mismanagement of projects, and mismanagement of budget. And me not having the proper guidance, you know, and it was just, and not following regulations, just a lot of stuff. Yeah.
What happened. I can relate, working in hospitals for so many years. The last place I wanted to be was moving up the management ladder. I was like, no, I don't want to deal with any of that. Let me just take care of my patients.
Yeah. Well, and what I realized too, like I didn't know this about myself, that I was really sensitive to the energies around me. Like I was very influenced by by other people and their beliefs and their thoughts. And rather than holding my own beliefs, I would get sucked into the drama of things. And so you combine that with my inability to like focus and my desire to like make things right. You know, I kind of was not in a, life was pretty chaotic for me.
I imagine you probably struggled when you, as you were going into work every day with all of that political, you know, corporate politics going on. I worked in hospitality for years, and there was some of that that went on in the hospitality industry because of, you know, some egos. And so I get that. And so sometimes you have knots in your stomach when you're going to work. So I imagine that some of it was quite a relief that you didn't have to do that any longer. Am I right?
It was a huge relief, a huge blessing. And, you know, as I mentioned, it freed me up from the unrealistic responsibilities, you know, that were laid on me. And oh my gosh, the mountains of work that I couldn't keep up with anymore. It was just like, I didn't know how to succeed anymore other than to just show up, do the best I can every day, you know, go to sleep, repeat. And so now, yeah, so that was, yeah, that's the journey of, you know, me getting fired. And the third time was really the biggest, it was the icing on the cake. It was the blessing in disguise that, that I finally listened to it and pursued a different path.
That's awesome. And I can't wait to hear about Bali, but I just did want to briefly touch, as a PA, I can't help but talk about the medications a little bit. And I'm so glad that you were able to get off of the Adderall, because, you know, it does take such a big toll on your body. The amount of stress hormones that are constantly pumping out, it's going to cause adrenal fatigue and mess with your hormones, your cortisol levels. And like you said, all the parasympathetic functions of your body, your digestion. And then it does kind of function like an appetite suppressant as well. So people will end up, you know, people who want to lose weight love it because they feel like, oh, it curbs my appetite. But then they're probably skipping meals and then missing out on, you know, proper nutrients as well. So definitely not something you want to be taking unless it's absolutely necessary. So I'm so glad that you were able to get off of that. So tell us about Bali. Why'd you pick Bali and what was that like?
Well, so my journey started in Bali and then I spent most of it in Vietnam. So I chose Bali because, well, it's one of the, you know, it's that part of Asia that is known to be really spiritual and healing and beautiful. And I had also been to Bali like one time before that. And I decided like I wanted to go back there. And so, and that was more of a vacation. And actually, yeah, Bali is just filled with so much healing and so much, there's like an ancient healing kind of energy that exists in Bali. And the food, oh my God, the food there was unbelievable. But yeah, I spent some time there just kind of figuring out, okay, where do I actually want to settle? But it wasn't until I went to, I decided to go to Vietnam. And that's where my feeling.
Really did you do all of this on your own? Did you do this trip by yourself?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
And did you have any connections with people in any of these places? Or you just strictly by yourself?
I just went strictly by myself. And yeah, Bali was beautiful, but Vietnam, in this place called Hoi An, it's spelled H-O-I-A-N, Hoi An. Any American, I think that, you know, that's been there, they'll describe Hoi An as being a magical place. And that to me was where I really started to come into my inner voice, like the my spirit, you know, my intuition. And it was when I started to come into the spirit realm and kind of understanding, or not even understanding, starting to experience more of the mystical aspect of life. Because before that, I had no clue, you guys. I really had no clue about spirituality, to be honest.
Well, you had mentioned too that you felt like you were living life totally asleep. So what do you mean by that? And is this where you felt like that you were beginning to awaken from that sleep?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I do believe most of the world is asleep. And I do believe, for me personally, I was living my life asleep. And what I mean by asleep, what I mean is that, first of all, disconnected from spirit, disconnected, you know, not disconnected from my intuition, suppressing my intuition, being on autopilot is a really great example of living a life asleep. And you're just going. And you're not really paying attention, like, to yourself. You're not paying attention to your body. You're not hearing your wisdom, your intuition. And I think a big thing about being asleep is suppressing emotions and not really understanding what our emotions are telling us. And I think when you begin to wake up, you begin to realize there is so much more to life than what society, what culture, what the media tells us. And that to me is a sign of awakening.
Wow. Well, tell us some of these hidden truths about spirituality or ancient wisdom and our humanity. What is it that you uncovered while you were there?
Right. Well, one thing that I uncovered, and this is also something I've learned from my own mentors and gurus and mystics, is that, so mainstream has taught us that we have two strand DNA and that the rest of our DNA is junk, right? So let's just add a little bit of logic to this. Why would higher power, why would we be made with a bunch of junk DNA? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it turns out that what's contained in the other 10 strands of our DNA is access to all the lifetimes we've ever lived. And how beautiful is that? It's like our Akashic records are contained there. And we actually have infinite intelligence contained in the cells of our body, that when we do the work of healing, when we do the work of awakening, and when we do the work of living our truths, we access that infinite intelligence contained within the cells of our body. So another way to put this is, think of people like Einstein, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, you know, Steve Jobs. These are the power that they had to change the world and influence the world. Every single human being has access to that kind of power. And when I say power, I mean the good kind of power, okay? But we're not taught this in school. You know, we're not taught this intelligence, and this is contained in like ancient sciences and ancient wisdom. And it's actually coming out in the mainstream through the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza. If you guys may have heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who else? Bruce Lipton. So if you look at Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza, these are scientists and also spiritualists that are coming out and starting to educate, share this knowledge with humanity.
So, Zaida, this is some amazing things. Now, I know we have some listeners, probably, again, all different religions. And again, spirituality and religions, different things. I think we are spiritual, and then religion is what we do about it. And yeah. So there's all different religions around the world. And we do have some of those that are tapping in from other countries. But when you even look at some of those writings of all of the different religions, it does point in that same direction in several passages in all the different religions out there. So there's definitely more information than what we're aware of. And like you said, we get so busy in our lives that, you know, we're just getting the kids off the bus and getting dinner on the table and getting the laundry done. And a lot of times we don't have time to really just be, sometimes to just be. And so I'm really excited that you had that time to do that exploration and to find some of those hidden things that really aren't so hidden. It's just, we're not looking for them. So you also said that there were like five stages of life's awakening. What are the five stages? Can you share that with us?
Yes. So I've come to learn and have been downloaded information from divine intelligence that just kind of based on my own unique imprint in this universe, five stages for life's awakening. And for our listeners and for the people that are here right now, write this down, okay? So stage one is denial. Stage two is suffering. Stage three is transformation. Stage four is truth. And then stage five is ascension. And ascension is spelled A, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, E N, S as in Sam, I O N, ascension. And I'm happy to quickly explain each one of those stages.
Yes, please do.
So let's see here. Okay. Denial is when you're operating on autopilot or you're being reactionary to life, ignoring your inner voice, perhaps blaming life and others for your life circumstances, and you're just constantly keeping busy. And you're denying quieting the mind and going within. So I believe most of humanity is in this stage, or a good chunk of humanity. And then stage two, suffering. So what you resist persists, right? I'm sure many of our listeners have heard this saying, what you resist persists. Well, life is telling you something about your soul's evolution, about your kind of wisdom that gets to be birthed. And so it's going to keep telling you until you listen and you do something about it. And it's manifest as a form of suffering. So whether it's mental, physical, emotional, such as stress is a huge indicator. Anxiety is another huge indicator. Illness in the body, disease, deterioration of relationships, and in some cases, financial loss. That's where the suffering happens. And then you're also feeling like you're a victim of life. Okay. Stage three, transformation. This is where, okay, after you've moved through denial, you've acknowledged the suffering, transformation, you've made the decision, I'm going to transform myself. I'm going to transform my life. Or, okay, if you don't decide to transform yourself or your life, you transform out of your current human form. You transition out of this life. In other words, most people refer to this as death. So you either transform yourself or your life, or you transition out of this life into the next life, okay? And then fourth, stage four is truth. As you do the work of transformation, you're healing yourself. And as you're healing yourself, you're awakening to truth. This is when you're living in truth, you're consciously creating your life into existence, and you've unleashed your spiritual gifts, and you're embodying your divinity, and you're reclaiming your birthright of love, joy, peace, prosperity, harmony, and abundance, and you're truly manifesting your destiny's path. And then the fifth stage, ascension, stage five, ascension. This is where I like to say life gets really, 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 really good. Because in this stage, you're connecting to other dimensions. Okay, because we are not the only beings existing in this universe. There are many, many different beings that connect to us that you can uniquely connect to. And so this is a form of ascension, because it just means you're experiencing your multidimensionality. Okay. And then you have access to your infinite intelligence, which I mentioned earlier is contained in your DNA. And then you also can access the innate healer within you, because as Rita is showing, proving with her very much needed work, we all have the ability to heal ourselves from within. We all have the innate healer within. And then you're also living in harmony with universal laws and the universal life force that is within you. And then you're embodying like infinitely higher states of consciousness. And you're helping, when you're ascending, you're also helping bringing back heaven on earth. And so those are the five stages: denial, suffering, transformation, truth, and ascension.
Very cool.
This is a lot of information, Susida. You realize that, right?
It's a shocker.
So yes, I think like a cool exercise for people to do is just like meditate on, where am I at? You know, which of these five stages, you know, am I at with my own life, you know, right now? And then, you know, think about how to get to the next level. So I think that's kind of what you do, right? So you're a spiritual and mindset coach. So how do you work with people, and what kind of clients come to you for help?
Yes. So I work with people who are ready to transcend their mental and emotional blocks. So ready to overcome, release, I think is probably a better word, release mental and emotional blocks, heal their traumas, and transform negative thinking. Because when we address those things, then that's when you start to tap into, you birth your purpose. You tap into your truth, like your unique truth. And you also tap into your spiritual gifts. And because the reason we have this path of life's awakening is because our highest calling in life is to experience the greatest versions of ourselves. The soul, like that's what our soul wants. Our soul seeks to experience the greatest, grandest version of itself. So whatever that is, well, it's hard to do that when you are living in trauma, which most of us are. We've been conditioned because we've experienced much traumatic emotionally traumatic life experiences. We've been conditioned to think in disempowering ways. And I'm not trying to judge anybody. So hopefully, you know, there's no offense to anyone in the audience. There's no judgment here. It's simply the world that we live in, that we are not taught by anyone. For the most part, generally speaking, we're not taught how to live life as humans. We're not taught that emotions are our biggest signposts as to whether we're living in alignment or not. You know, we're not taught how to understand and express our emotions, that it's okay to feel what we feel, you know, and we learn from people who are also asleep. And so people just repeat more of the same from generation to generation. And so one thing that I would be remiss not to share is that we are in a state of a human consciousness evolution. We are in a state of human consciousness evolution. That's why the world is in an upheaval, right? We are being called to reveal higher states of consciousness. Right now, the general consciousness of the world is pretty low. I'm sure you guys could agree. So it's up to us individually to do our own inner work so we can access higher states of consciousness, because as we individually access higher states of consciousness, then everybody else around us will also experience higher states of consciousness just by you being you. And then it's a beautiful ripple effect. So that is to say, like, I do the work of consciousness. I guide people to go where their consciousness is ready for them to go.
I would love to share just a very quick story that relates to that for me. When I had said that I was dealing with chronic pain when I was 29 and I was an athlete and I had no idea where this pain was coming from. So as a clinician, of course, I went the conventional medical route first. I had the x-rays and MRI. I had trigger point injections because I had like this of tightness in the muscle in my spine. Didn't know matter how many times I went to the massage therapist or the chiropractor, and it just wasn't getting better. And I just knew this was just not normal for a supposedly healthy 29-year-old who was very, very active. And that's when I realized conventional medicine didn't have all the answers. So I started to explore integrative other options. And I found a presentation that was about energy medicine. And I went to the presentation and they did a demonstration of, so the woman who was the teacher asked for a volunteer, and she did an energy healing session in front of everybody and talked about how it worked and the benefits. And I was like, this is amazing. But, you know, it's really opened my eyes up to how we need to heal mind, body, and spirit, because you can't just focus on the physical body. And I think that's really where our conventional system is lacking, because it's just the physical. We don't give the emotional and spiritual support, and we are spiritual beings. So I said, well, this work is amazing. I want to learn this and do this. But if I'm going to enroll in this 3-year training program in energy healing, I'm going to try it on myself first. Because I had this problem. I said, well, let me see, you know, how it's going to work. So I had one session of energy healing on my spine. And she told me how this pain that I was having was related to a deep emotional pain that I was dealing with, which was betrayal from my family. And just doing that session and then bringing that information to my consciousness, and I associated and realized that pain was an emotional trauma, that it was gone. I had two sessions and it was completely gone. And I mean, I was on the floor for months. I was coming home flat out on my back. I couldn't even, just to get through the night to be able to go back and do surgery all day the next day. So yeah. I then enrolled in this program, and I did an energy medicine training for 3 years, my own practice about that. So I love talking about consciousness and how it affects us on a cellular level. It's really amazing stuff.
It is. And, you know, to add to that, so what happens in these traumatic incidents, you know, Rita, for instance, for you experiencing betrayal with your family. So I see things in terms of energy and energetic construct, and everything has a construct. Literally everything is energy. Everything is energy. And so you created an identity around this betrayal. And also the body needs a place to manifest that identity of betrayal. So that's where it manifested. And so what happens is when we experience traumatic incidences, and we still do, we experience them even as adults. it's the world that we live in. What happens is there's things we decide, negative things, disempowering things, think of them as statements of false truths that we decide about ourselves, that we decide about life, that we decide about others, it becomes embedded in our subconscious as something that we start to create a construct around. So we create mental thought patterns around, and then it begins. It's
the stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah, it's the stories we tell ourselves. You know, I had a client, and we had a really powerful session with her. She was suffering from chronic pain for most of her life. And what triggered this session is she was in a class for one of her coaching programs earlier on in the day. And the coach was coaching somebody else who was describing their like chronic pain. And the coach had said, you know, on a subconscious level, chronic pain is a way to get attention. And so my client, she got triggered by that. And she's like, oh my God, that is what I've been doing my whole life, like wanting to get attention from my mother. Well, because she had blamed, when she was a child, she had blamed her mother for the physical abuse that happened to her. And one of the things that we had unpacked, she commanded in her subconscious during a trauma session, was that about life, there's nothing but pain and suffering for me in this life. So in a sense, she kind of sentenced her body to a lifetime of pain and suffering. And so, and this is what we do. So she decided that that life was filled with pain and suffering for her. So one of the ways it manifested in her experience was chronic pain. And so, by the end of our session, it was probably one of the most powerful sessions I'd ever done, because we unpacked some deeply, deeply rooted, disempowering statements for her. And so I do know, like, feedback I've gotten from her is, since that session, is it's changed the way that she is showing up in life now. She's actually tracking her symptoms so we can see how it affects her chronic pain symptoms. But, you know, if you believe, which I do, we create everything with mind. Our mind is the starting point of everything we experience in life. So yeah. If we believe something subconsciously, we create it in our experience. Like Kathy was saying, it becomes a story we tell ourselves. And so now—
How do we change our stories, Suzaida? How do we change those stories that maybe it started as early as the stories our parents told us, and then we continue to tell ourselves the same stories? How do we change that dialogue?
There's a couple of ways. So part of it is you're reprogramming the subconscious mind. So affirmations or declarations, statements, you know, just change your thought patterns, change it to something that is the opposite of that negative thought pattern. Even so, here's an example. So a lot of us, I know with a lot of the people I come across, a lot of us are working through our scarcity belief system, our money mindset, right? Most of us have been conditioned that we're not meant to be wealthy, or there's not enough money, or money is the root of all evil, or I'm not meant to be rich, I'm not destined, blah, blah, blah. So those are all lies.
I run into that all the time with my coaching, being a passive income coach. I run into that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things you can do, you know, that is kind of a nice transition, is simply when you find yourself saying, oh, I don't have the money, just be like, wealth and success. That's it. In mind, simply say wealth and success. And then whatever you subconsciously will associate with wealth, it's going to be positive. Whatever you subconsciously associate with success is going to be positive as well. So you don't need to convince your mind, right? You just say wealth and success, and do that as often as you can, multiple times during the day, and start paying attention. Observe your mind. Like, don't judge. First of all, don't judge what your mind is thinking. Simply observe it. The last thing you want to do is judge what your mind is thinking. And it's going to be easy to judge your mind, because you're going to find your mind is very negative. But don't judge it, because you're just going to feed it more negativity. We don't want that. We don't want that. But start observing your thought patterns, especially like when you feel triggered, and like just kind of pause, feel it in your body, and then just start asking questions. Okay, why am I feeling this? What, you know, just get curious with it, like create a relationship with it. Because when you do that, you're starting to disrupt the patterning that you've conditioned in your body for that event, for that thinking. So you're disrupting the wiring. So the two things I said there, one was observe your thinking, right? Observe your thinking. When you get triggered, just go within, love yourself. This is where you're like coaching yourself. You're doing your own spiritual work on yourself, literally. And often I have clients ask, you know, call on their highest self. Highest self, connect with me, drop in now. Call on your highest self. You'll see how powerful this will work. Okay. And then the affirmations, find words that are believable to you. Okay. They've got to work for you, because you can gather all the affirmations out there that you want, but use the words that have a strong, positive, high frequency resonance for you, because that's what's going to work for you. The most effective way I found that gets the quickest results is the trauma work. It's because the trauma work gets to the root cause. There's a lot of work out there that doesn't get to the root cause. They work for a period of time, you know, but then people start going back of doing more of the same, but different. So for me, I have found, because even my own resistance, okay, my own internal struggles, that getting to the core by doing the trauma work, because the trauma is where it all started. It's where it all started. And there's some clients we can get right straight to the root, you know, the core trauma. Some clients, it takes, you know, some time to get to that core trauma because it's that traumatic. It's wherever consciousness is ready for them to go. But that's really the most powerful. You know, you're welcome to explore whether I could be the person to guide you to do that trauma work. But really, for freedom, liberation, and healing, Do the trauma work. I cannot emphasize it enough.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I know I found, you know, with the healing modalities, and I did like hypnotherapy training and stuff like that. And I found the most powerful tool that I've used when I do energy healing sessions with people is inner child work.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you about, like, you know, we know that the affirmations and, like you said, changing to the positive words are really, really important. But when most of that negative programming has started from your childhood and now you're adult, you know, it's been like your entire life of this negative thought patterns. I mean, how long does it take to change it? I mean, I know it's going to be different for everybody. Is it maybe how deep they're willing to go with doing their work? Or, I mean, how long does it take to change that negative?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on before we get Suzita's take on this. When I'm working with my my clients and coaching about passive income, oftentimes, you know, I hear those negative statements. Oh, I can't afford that. Oh, I could never live in that neighborhood. Oh, there's no way that I could, you know, get out of my mindset. There's, you know, I can't. And so it's so hard to remember not to say those things, because there it's the stories we've been telling ourselves forever. For whatever reason, you know, maybe our parents said when we were 3 years old, we can't afford that, put that back. I can't afford to get you any candy today, put that back. We're just buying groceries today. So who knows how early in our lives that those statements came about. So I've discovered in a nice little segue for my clients, instead of trying to get them to change the entire phrase, because they forget, they slip back into those patterns so easily, I said, just add two words to the end of every negative phrase. Until now. I can't afford that until now.
I like that.
That's I can't good. Live in that neighborhood until now. Mm. I can't have a decent car until now.
Yeah.
And so it's almost an afterthought, but what it does is it puts a whole different energy into that statement.
It does. Yeah, I like that. I feel that resonance. That's a very powerful one. Yeah, I think, you know, it's really interesting because our minds are so powerful, and our minds create the out picturing of our reality. So our beliefs create our thoughts, and we are our beliefs, right? So our beliefs create our thoughts create our words. Our words create our feelings create our emotions. And then through emotions is how we experience life, the experience, the reality of our lives. And spirituality is really, in the simplest terms, like spirituality is that everything is that reality is created from spirit. That's really the simplest definition of spirituality, is that reality is created from spirit. And so I think first is, I mean, depending on how much mindset work you've done, I think that if you're just beginning, because I'm trying to think back to when I first started this journey, I remember I could barely meditate for a minute. Mm-hmm. To quiet my mind for a minute. I was like, how can people do this? You know, now I can meditate 30, 45 minutes to an hour. So I think first, I mean, you've got to get a coach. I think get a coach, find a coach that serves the needs of where you are at in your journey. And, you know, make sure that is the right coach for you, because a coach gets this work. A coach understands the human experience and the spirituality, you know, what's happening with our mind, body, and soul with coaching work. And that's really important. And they can hold the space for you to process all the negative thinking that is happening. They can hold a safe space for you to process it. Because sometimes I know we can have some pretty, you know, bad thinking, if you will, just saying that for the sake of conversation. But you know what? Those are your thoughts. Like it's okay. Like let your thoughts come to surface, so you can bring light to it, so you can transform it. So I think it's really important to just acknowledge where your thoughts are at right now. And then the next step would be asking yourself, what are you ready to release? What are you ready to let go of? What are you ready to heal and transform? Because whatever your answer is to that, your consciousness is going to guide you. And then that's what the universe is going to bring to you, you know, in response. And then also, I know one of my biggest things with this journey, you guys, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. I know they say, like, you know, it's easy to forgive, but I never forget. You gotta forgive, because if you're not forgiving yourself, if you're not forgiving others, that's energy. Remember, everything is energy. So think about the energy, the energies around all the people that you're not forgiving, or yourself, all the energies around yourself where you're not forgiving yourself. And we have a lot of that. We have a lot of those in life. And so that's a really great place to start, is forgiveness work and just releasing that, because that's a big block for a lot of people, is not for the lack of forgiveness.
That's a tough one too, Suzita. Your mission is to awaken a billion people to their divine mind and infinite intelligence. Now, how do you plan on doing that? That's a lot of people. And then tell us how they can book a free awakening call with you.
Okay, amazing. Well, you know what? And it is, a billion people is a lot of people. But I believe, you know, awakening one person at a time to their divine mind and the infinite intelligence within, if they're awake, that's how they're going to show up in their lives. And they're just going to impact people the same, because they're going to be called to a similar journey to awaken, you know, there to awaken people in according to their own unique way. So it's going to be a ripple effect for sure, is how it's going to happen. It may take many, many years. And that's okay too, because awakening one person changes the entire collective.
Yes, I can see that. Now, how can folks actually connect with you or schedule or book a free awakening call?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I would love for anyone that's listening to book an awakening call with me. I love having these conversations with people, because in these conversations, you will experience a true moment of awakening, and they're very, very powerful calls. And I love doing them and having them with people. Let's see, I think what I set up for your audience is a 1 hour awakening call. So let's see, I'm gonna put it in the chat here. And then for the people listening on podcasts, will they have show notes that they can access?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, you can also, if you go, so there's a link here, because it's a long link. Sorry about that.
I will put the link in with on the platform where the replay. I'll put the link there as well.
Well, and alternatively, you can go to my website, which is my first name, Suzita, my last name, Hippolito, Suzita Hippolito, all one word, .com. Go to my website. That's my story. You'll find my more details about my story there. And there's also a button there that says, Let's Talk Awakening. You're welcome to book it there, book through there as well.
All right. Did I spell that correctly?
Yes, you sure did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Do we have any last questions for Suzita?
I want to know when you're going to Bali again, and are we going to do some sort of a retreat that we can all come to?
Oh my gosh. You know what? We should plan something whenever they open the borders up again.
Yeah. Yes. I know Wendy has done retreats there before, she said. So
Oh my God, I would love that with you guys. That would be so amazing. We have a great combination here. We've got the wealth, we've got the health, and we've got the mindset.
Nancy, did you have a question for Susanna?
I did. I couldn't get to my unmute button. Okay, my question is, when you set out on this journey, did you have a structured plan, or did you have your spiritual people and gurus already in mind to visit, or did you take books, or did you just wing it?
Oh my God. That's an excellent question. I'm actually really glad you asked that, Nancy, because no, my journey of awakening was super messy. It was lonely. It was scary, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And the only support that I had was I had some emotional support. It was just enough support for me to continue to deepen my faith and find my courage. And then it wasn't until earlier this year, really, that I started to finally embrace and really truly understand what was happening to me. So part of my coaching, one of the packages I offer for my coaching is a 6-month awakening journey, an accelerated awakening journey. And well, in fact, yeah, it's an awakening journey that has structure, that has the support, that has a system, that has guidance, and it also deals with the trauma. Like I didn't have any idea about trauma work until, you know, way like towards the end of my journey. And that was what changed everything for me. It was almost like life wanted me to learn a bunch of things and then be like, okay, now you're ready for your trauma work. And then when I did my trauma work, I was like, wow. Everything shifted for me. And then I realized, oh, I'm also gifted with doing trauma work. Makes sense, because it was part of my journey. So, yeah. But I don't, were you asking, Nancy, like, were you interested in a particular read or author? Is that what you were asking too?
Not necessarily. I mean, for the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of reading, yes, and following different people, but I was, you know, I would like to go away on an island somewhere and you know, release a lot of trauma and have peace with myself. But it was just interesting that you were gone for 2 years. So, you know, did you have a plan initially, or did it, you know, if it came to you, or like, yeah, did your downloads tell you where to go next since you went then to Vietnam, you know?
Well, I can tell you I did. One of the things I did early on at the beginning of my journey was a leadership transformation program. And it was a 4-month leadership course. It's called HeartCore, HEARTCORE, HeartCore Leadership. They're based in San Diego. And I did a 4-month leadership program. And I was still kind of asleep when I did that program. I would say it was that program that really woke me up, because that program disrupted everything I thought about life, everything I knew about myself, everything that I learned about life. It changed everything for me. So after that, I was like, there's no way. How can I go back to my life pre-transformation, knowing what I know now? You know, what do I do with this information? And I would say too, that's when really the healing started that I didn't even know. Because at that point, I was still living a lot of resistance. I was just barely waking up. I was living in a lot of resistance, a lot of ego. I was constantly getting in my own way. I was living in my head a lot. And I was not an easy client.
What I hear you saying, Suzita, was that you heard some of the truths, but you hadn't totally embraced them yet. You hadn't made that paradigm shift.
No, because I think one of the things that I did not experience from that program was integration. It didn't prepare me. What do you do with yourself? What do you do with your life after you do this, all this inner work? Because it's easy to go back to your old ways. It's easy to go back to your default programming. It's easy to go back to your old habits, because I've been conditioned a certain way for 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know. It was like I was living with so much conflict, because I was like, okay, I know I have this, but I still am stuck in this cycle. I'm still stuck. I was still very stuck in my old ways, my old beliefs, and my old identity. And I didn't really start shedding and transforming my old identities until I did the trauma work. So I think other people have had success with the transformation program. So I'm not like, you know, negating it. Other people have had tremendous success with that transformation program. Like they, you know, their lives totally like skyrocketed after the program. Not for me. That transformation program was just the beginning of my journey. And then, there was a lot of pain and suffering that happened for me after leadership transformation. And then when I got through it and I came upon community, a spiritual community that I aligned with, and then learned about trauma work, I was like, oh my God, I think this is it. And then that's when things finally started to integrate for me. Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard work, but it's so, so worth it. But you definitely have to have the support of the right person, a great coach to work you through it, whether it's a coach or therapist or somebody who really knows what they're doing to help guide you along the way. Because it's like just peeling back those layers of the onion one at a time. And it's an emotional roller coaster up and down of releasing all these old traumas and thought patterns. Worth it when you come out of it. I mean, we're always learning, we're always growing and transforming right. In life. I don't believe we ever stop, but you know, there is that period where you're really releasing that deep trauma. That's very, very intense. I know it was for me, because I was in it for years. But when you come out at the end of the tunnel, it's like, whew.
It is. I invite people, like it's one thing to go on retreat and do the inner work. Like that is beautiful. I did a little bit of that. It is really beautiful. Don't forget, we still live in this very three-dimensional world. So there's the integration piece. There is the integration piece. So no matter like what program you go with or what coach you go with, ask about the integration, because that's really where that's where it becomes the most crucial. Because it's one thing to know the work and do the work, but it's another thing to live life as the new you, as a transformed you. Yeah.
Well, again, those stories we tell ourselves, it's so hard to transition those stories. You know, that I can't go there. I can't do that. I'm not enough. That everybody's ahead of me. I mean, just the energy, the negative energy that hangs on all of those statements. It feels, you know, really heavy. And once you know the truth, I find it's a little easier to change that. But it was a practice. I had to practice. change anything. Yes. And that's why, you know, my little hack of just adding until now on the end is just when you catch yourself in one of those thoughts, that is such an easy way to flip the energy on that statement.
It is really good. And I feel it's also important to recognize that the habits that we know, the thoughts that we think, that's our safe zone. That's our comfort zone. No matter how disempowering they are, no matter how toxic they may be to our current state, it's what we know, it's what's comfortable. And it's, in a sense, it's what's easy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to let go because it's what we know. To let go of what we know means embracing the unknown. And that's where the integration, part of the integration piece, is recognizing that you're becoming somebody. You're becoming and living a new life. You're venturing into something you don't know. And so it's easy for the old identity to be like, come here, stay right here. It's comfortable here. It's safe here. And when you start recognizing it, yeah, it becomes easier to be like, okay, wait, that's old me trying to be like, nope, I'm going to jump here because I'm taking a leap of faith. Faith is essential in this journey. faith, yes. And it comes with the divine, with the divinity, embracing the divinity within.
Absolutely. This has been awesome.
It has. Thank you so much. Yes. I've learned so much. I can't wait to tap into your website and learn even more about you. Again, we're going to put all of this in the Kathy Benner International Academy. It's all free. There's a whole column of free meetups, and that's where you'll find this one under Fit as a Fiddle Plus. And you'll find the replay there. You'll also find all of the links to connect with Suzaida and also that 1-hour awakening call that you can schedule with Suzaida. So thank you, Suzaida. We really appreciate you being on with us this evening. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. And Nancy and Ruth, we're glad that you were here to share as well. And Rita, thank you as always. Great job. And we will see everyone next month.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.